We're continuing the laws of Shabbat, and now we're up to the form of muktzah which we are most familiar with. The muktzah we all know is kli shemlechto leisur, a vessel that's used for prohibited things. So that's our cell phone, that's our pen and pencil. What you do with that item is something prohibited on Shabbos. So then that item is muktzah. It's a tool, but it's a tool used for prohibited things. That's our screwdriver, that's our hammer, that's a match. Well, match is a good question whether it's called a kli. So we have many, many things that are a kli, shemnachto leisur. And this is a more lenient type of muktzah. Because over here, Chazal said, if you need the space, you left a pen on your Shabbos table. Now you have to put down your plate. You want to eat on the Shabbos table. So that's a kli shemnachto leisur. You could move it. You're allowed to use it litzorech gufo. As we said, if you need the hammer to break open a coconut, you're allowed to use the hammer on Shabbat. Because Chazal only prohibited moving it out of the sun. When you're moving it, because you want to protect it. So if you leave your pen outside, maybe it'll melt in the sun. Then you can't move it. I'm sorry. That's a kli shemnachto leisur. Chazal said, don't move it. Letzorech gufo. When you're moving it just to protect the item. You walk outside and you see you forgot your pen there. You forgot your toolbox outside. You're worried someone might walk off with your tools. Right? You left your saw outside. You're worried it. If it's a danger, that's a different deal. But if it's just you're worried it might get stolen or it might get damaged when it's outside, it's going to rain and your tools might get rusty. So the whole idea of muktzah is don't move it in order to protect it. You're not allowed to move it for its own good. If you have a use for it or if you need that space, then you're allowed to move it. But letzorech gufo, for its own benefit, because you don't want your tools getting wet outside, that you're not allowed to move it for. You see, you left your calculator outside. It's going to rain. It's going to get destroyed in the rain. What can you do? You're not allowed to move it. That's a kli shemnachto leisur. You use the calculator for things that are prohibited. You don't have a permissible use for a calculator on Shabbos. You're not allowed to move it. Letzorech gufo. You have a problem. We'll see as we go on. But the problem is that almost always when you reach the point that it's a monetary loss, it's almost always also going to be muktzeh mechamat chesron kis, which is a far more severe muktzeh. Meaning, once it becomes that expensive, then it's already even a more severe form of muktzeh. So, Chazal were more lenient here than with regards to a stone, because over here, it is a kli. When you have a stone, when you have sand, when you have a piece of wood, so there Chazal say, if you didn't do an act to designate it as a vessel for Shabbos, you're not allowed to use it. Even as a doorstop, you can't move it. You're not allowed to touch it. You can't say, I need that rock to hold down my plates, my napkins, because that's a rock. It's not a kli. But if what you have is a hammer, so the hammer is a kli, and now on Shabbat you need it to break open your coconut, so there Chazal were more lenient because it already has, it's a vessel. Now, what about an item that is both kli shemnachto leisur and heter? So we go by rov tashmisho. What do you use it most for? There's something which I discussed with Rav Nevinzal four times, and I still don't have clarity on, and that is a gun. Do we view a gun as a kli shemnachto leisur or heter? So he, one of the arguments that he made is that people wear a gun primarily as a deterrent. Meaning when terrorists see that there are plenty of people there with guns, so they say, let me pick another place. This isn't the place I want to go. So it's not so much the usage of the gun as much as the visibility of the gun. So that leads to another question. What about all those people that walk around with guns hidden? Then they're not a deterrent. So they're not a deterrent in that way. What about inside yeshuvim? Can you say that it's a deterrent inside the yeshuv? So I think today we know that they look inside yeshuvim to see what's going on. So in that sense, it could still be a deterrent. That's great, but if that's its main purpose, it's a klishem nachto leisur. So when it's necessary, or you think it might be necessary, then you use the gun, you wear the gun. But the question here is, you come to shul and there are 50 other people with guns. Are you also supposed to wear your gun going to shul? What do you need that 51st gun for? So if I say it's a klishem nachto leheter, I say the main purpose of the gun is so that people see it. Most people never use the gun their whole life. It's just a deterrent. So then I'm allowed to wear the gun when I go to shul because it doesn't matter that 50 other people have a gun. It's a klishim lachto laheter. I have no problem handling it. I don't have to limit myself. I don't have to ask myself every time, is it necessary or not? Some people live in yeshuvim where everyone has a gun. So now everyone's allowed to show up to shul every Shabbos. You know that all your neighbors every Shabbos show up to shul with a gun.
Now,
what?
Why is it your problem that there's zero responsibility to protect yourself?
Again, let's start again. If you have any reason to think there's a danger or something, wear the gun, fine. But if you have no reason to think there's a danger, and the whole point is you need to have a certain number of people with a weapon in shul. So you have more than that. You go to many yeshuvim, and you see everyone there's wearing a gun. So now, if the gun is a klishim nachto leheter, because the main purpose of the gun, like Rav Nevinzal suggested, is it's a deterrent. People see that someone's wearing a gun. So there have definitely been stories where terrorists even got caught because they were scared to do something because they saw someone with a gun. So so then you don't have to think twice. It doesn't matter where you're going. It doesn't matter how many people are there with weapons. You can carry your gun. In our yeshuv, I don't think it's necessary to have people with guns. I ensure that in our shul, every Shabbat, there are two people responsible, minimum two, that are there with a gun. And even that is only because it's a public place and there are a lot of people. Because no one asks. I mean, those who ask, I say, we have two volunteers who it's their responsibility to be in shul with a gun. And maximum, to if they're not there, to have someone else there. But that's because I'm not convinced that one can really say that the prime purpose of owning or being with a weapon, being with a gun, is as a deterrent. But that goes back to this question. We said in order to define a vessel, whether it's a klishim nachto leisur or klishim nachto leheter, then you want to know what the prime purpose, what's the main use you have for this vessel. So I think in people's imagination, the main reason they have a gun is because they're going to kill that terrorist. Statistically, though, the benefit of having it is possibly, it's hard to know. You know, you'd have to ask the government and their research on that. Meaning the government might argue that the fact that there are so many citizens who know how to use a weapon make this country a safer place. You know, they say in Texas, you don't have people walking into UPS and shooting other people because they know they'll get shot back. They say, you know, all these stories where people barged into public places and started shooting at them, that was because they could get away with it. What? I'm saying, I don't know, you know, more people die from accidents of weapons. I'm not a believer that we should have so many weapons out there. I don't believe that's a good thing. I think it's very dangerous that so many people own weapons. Many weapons get stolen and they fall into enemy hands. But coming back to here, so that's the question. Do we view a gun as a klishim nachto leheter or isur? Again, if you have room to think there's any danger, six years ago, someone asked me, they live in the peaceful neighborhood of Arnof, and they daven in the peaceful shul of Reb Rubin. On Shabbos, should they wear their gun going to shul? And I said, yes. And they said, but it's Harnof. And I said, right, it's a facade. You have to wear your gun to shul, because chances are there's no one else there with a gun, because in Harnof, who walks with a gun? And unfortunately, 2 years later, there was the great massacre in that shul. But I knew that when he asked me 2 years earlier, when I go to that shul on Shabbat, should I wear a gun? I said, yeah. And he said, yeah. And if I go to the Bell's base medrash, I said, also, yeah. Who's there with a weapon? As far as we know, there isn't. So it's good to have someone there. So any time there's room to think it's good, safety-wise, so then the question doesn't begin. The question begins where you feel like there's no need. You go to the Kotel. You have all around you, swarms of policemen and soldiers. Your gun isn't going to make a difference. Legally, you're not even allowed to pull it. Meaning technically, so you'll tell me, but the way to the Kotel. Okay, again. But
you can see now, maybe that a good justification for a gun is to do, people get this.
That's another discussion. But coming back to here, so our definition of klishan the melachto liisur or heter revolves around rov tashmisho. What's okay? So there's another leniency here. That because it's really a vessel, what happens if it's already in your hand? You picked it up by mistake. So then you're allowed to move it. You don't have to drop it right away. If you picked it up by mistake, you're allowed to take it to wherever you think it belongs. So kids will sometimes tell me, Abba, I picked up this toy. I didn't realize it had a battery in it. What am I supposed to do now? I say, put it away. Right? So even though I'm not allowed to move it ordinarily, I am. Okay, and we'll pick up here. Bezat Hashem next week.